The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Wednesday. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. We've got so much to cover. Let me just run through it, then right to it we get to. Roseanne canceled. That in a moment. This relates to it. Nearly one in five employers now requires a full review of potential employees' social media accounts. We'll get to that. Does that mean that you go into an employer now and you say, okay, I'd like to have this job, and they say, okay, we need to see all of your social media accounts and we need your password to get in?
Not password, but you need to make it public.
You need to make it public for us.
Right.
Okay. Trump and the RNC's pounding on Democrats and MS-13. You and I have talked about this for the long time, that they're one of the things that frustrates us are the things that are so obvious that Republicans should be going after the Democrats for.
Mm-hmm.
And really, yesterday was a 1-2 punch. I mean, Trump at the rally in Tennessee, and then the RNC with their ad about Nancy Pelosi and MS-13. Mm. And they need to keep these things running. They need to keep the narrative. They just can't have the narrative now and then drop it.
It's interesting because the gloves have been off with the left for a long, long time. And they get away with it because the media loves them. They adore them, right? But the right can't do that. But now they can because of Trump. Trump's just kicked the door open. He took the hinges off the door, actually, and decided it was going to be a very direct approach. You can say you like it or you don't. You respect it or you don't. It doesn't matter. That's the approach now. And what it does is it gives room to the Republican Party to do something that they should have been doing long before Trump came around. They should have been going direct on their ads, as we have been saying for years. You play them in their own words. You pointed out time and time again who the people on the left are. Remember, she would be quite possibly the Speaker of the House if the Democrats win.
Right.
And so this is something that has to happen. That type of ad is that direct approach, because this is how they think. Say what you will about Trump and his over-the-top stuff and stuff he might have said in any given rally or moment or tweet or whatever it is. What that does is it raises the roof to the point that they have more room, I think, at the RNC. They believe they have more room to really take the left on, and that's a positive as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, you sit there and you say, do you wish to vote for the party that views MS-13 as the murderous gang animals they are, or do you wish to have compassion and humanize these brutal murderers?
Right.
And you promote that over and over and over and over and over again, because you win that argument in America every single time. And you show just how radical the left has, you know, has become. And this, by the way, this is not us talking necessarily about, you know, all when we talk these things here, we are talking about the substance of the idea. But a lot of times we just put on our political hats and we say, look, this is what you should be doing to win politically. But this is a win both on substance and politically.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really minds. I know the polls showed that what was it, 40 something percent said they think it's inappropriate to call MS-13 animals. I guarantee if Trump wasn't involved with it, it would be 85 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
That if it was Obama that called them animals, there would have been no problem whatsoever. That was simply a Trump thing. You win this every single time. And so when Trump brought it up last night at the rally, I said, well, that's good. But even earlier when I saw the DNC ad against Nancy Pelosi, I went, well, that's spot on. I mean, mm-hmm. That's exactly what they should be doing. So we'll get to that here in just a little bit. The Dow drops nearly 400 points on Italy's debt and Trump's quick reversal on the whole tariff thing on China. Man, that was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's so back and forth with both the tariffs and trade with China and the North Korea summit. It's just all over the place right now. This is one of the reasons we don't make predictions.
Well, let me ask you this. Did this thought at least pop through your mind? That because it popped through my mind, I said, because I went, this isn't about trade, it's about North Korea.
Hmm.
That he did this because he wishes to pressure China to keep Kim Jong-un at the table. Or to keep this summit on. That just ran through my head real quick.
There is a theory going around, and I saw someone write about that over the long weekend. They were talking about that, you know, Trump says China has no influence. The White House keeps saying China has no influence, but everybody knows.
I disagree.
Everybody knows that they do.
Right.
And they believe that China could have been responsible for North Korea coming out and Kim Jong-un specifically, and saying what he said and the negative comments and everything else and throwing everything off track. And if that's the case, if they believe that, you know, there's some manipulation, you know, going on behind the scenes, it's one of these weird things because China does not want in a complete fall of North Korea, they don't want the refugees from North Korea. China doesn't. South Korea doesn't want the refugees, which is why President Moon Jae-in is so happy to shake hands and hug his counterpart from the North, which is bizarre, but he doesn't want to deal, Moon Jae-in doesn't want to deal with the refugees. And so China's playing this game, though. They know North Korea is not about to fall, that we're not about to strike them. There's not going to be a preemptive move on North Korea. So they have room to play here. And it's likely, and many people believe this, that they were manipulating behind the scenes. And I think there's probably a little bit of proof of that along the way. But certainly good theory, too, the fact that they have manipulated this situation. Right. And it's likely that our new, his new team, his entire new team, Pompeo and Kudlow and everyone is probably looking at this right now, and Bolton, and saying, look, you got to be careful how you approach this and on every step. There's no rush to get to the table with North Korea. There's not necessarily a rush to get to the table on trade with China. There's room to breathe on both fronts. So you can hit the pause button. The problem is that in the public, you start to lose credibility, politically here at home.
Well, until you get something done. Either it was that or he felt the blowback from what he views as his loyal supporters. And I don't know what that indicator would be for him, but those are the two thoughts because you and I mentioned it last week when, when they basically announced that, all the tariffs are off the table. We're going to sit back. And so, but when this happened so suddenly, I went, was there a huge blowback over the weekend from that? Or was it the fact that this is all part of, you know, the inner workings of, you know, getting back to the table with North Korea? And we want to let China know, you know, through this backdoor channel of tariffs that we're, you know, that, look, we're serious about this. We want you to help us get this done. So it was more of a threat not related to actual trade, because I still don't know specifically why they changed their mind on it.
Well, here's another thing.
What was the official explanation of reversing that so quickly without adequate explanation right after the tweet came out? Where we really got no explanation when the tweet came out about North Korea that, you know, that implied they were back at the table again. What about the letter last Thursday? Mm-hmm. Everything's moving so quickly without any explanation to explain the change in strategy.
Senator Marco Rubio, too, was over the weekend making comments that he believes there's probably a veto-proof majority, a supermajority there in the on Capitol Hill to block ZTE. Remember the tweet that the president put out about ZTE and China losing too many jobs on that deal. and Rubio was making.
That was mind-boggling.
That was bizarre. That was just bizarre. Right. But I think, in fact, it's quite possible. I still believe there's a 1% possibility that the Chinese hacked into his Twitter account. But Rubio making the comments over the weekend.
Get an informant in there.
Exactly. Saying that he believes that there is a veto-proof majority that is in line with blocking ZTE from doing business in the States. I don't know if it would come to that. Maybe that message got to the president. I don't know.
Morgan Freeman goes after CNN and demands a retraction. That's a strange one. Chuck Grassley goes after the head of Fusion GPS, says he made misleading or just outright lied to the Senate last year. The top 10 cities, and this is all because of the story last week, the top 10 cities for millennials living with mom. Okay. All coming up. The Starbucks training is complete. All is right with the world. And
no one there is racist anymore, right?
Well, right. No one there is racist anymore. And they will be tolerant of everybody. And so as my buddy, libertarian concert violinist Gary tweeted yesterday, let's all wear our Make America Great hats again into Starbucks tomorrow morning.
That's right. Because I'm sure everything would be fine then. And then just sit there.
By the way, when I say libertarian Gary, he is a libertarian. And yes, he does have, he looks like most of the people that I talked to, by the way, when I went to Florida this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to 5-6 different people. And a couple of them, I didn't know where they stood. And they said, you know, and I asked, well, what do you think? You know, did you like Trump? And they said, I voted for him.
Mm.
I said, and I wish him the best of luck. I don't like everything he does, but certainly the choice was Hillary or him. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's, you know, that's, I meet more and more of those people every single day that, and as it goes on, they just say, look, yeah, I agree. I wish Trump wouldn't do this. I wish he wouldn't do that. I wish you, look at my alternative is. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, we said, no matter how outrageous the president can get, wait 5 minutes, hold my beer, Democrats say. That's the lingo now on social media. You think he's outrageous? Hold my beer. Mm-hmm. I will up it. Say whatever you think about, you know, Trump and the outrageous things he said. Let's not call MS-13 animals because we shouldn't be dehumanizing anybody. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you think about that, it's almost humorous. So Starbucks training is like I said, all complete and all is right with the world now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to know. I'm glad they've corrected everything and shut the door on that entire thing, right?
Yes, they have corrected
it's over,
everything.
Right?
Coming up next, we'll get into the discussion. Roseanne canceled. Your calls and comments on the way too. 866. That's the TV show.
Yes.
Right. Roseanne.
She herself has not been canceled.
And by the way, she's back on Twitter tonight.
She said she was leaving Twitter. I guess she took a break for about an hour.
She's blaming Ambien.
Okay.
For what she did.
Oh, okay.
Yes. 866-90 Red Eye.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Now, the interesting thing last night was on the air with you, and you just said, what in the world's going on with Roseanne and these bizarre tweets that are coming out?
It was weird because I follow her, and then I follow a couple of people that follow her, and those people were retweeting or liking her tweets, and I thought, it was interesting because she had been on Twitter for hours at that point, at the point that our show started. And then I saw the tweet that eventually got her fired. I didn't know what it meant because I didn't know what VJ stood for. I didn't know she was referring to Valerie Jarrett. I had no idea. I didn't even really pay attention to it.
And by the way, this was, we didn't say this on the air. This is just going on.
It was going on.
And Eric saw that. And he just said, what in the world?
I just said, what is she doing? She seems to be very active tonight on Twitter. Did something happen? I guess, was there somebody that, I don't know, accused her of something politically, or was she having a debate? And I couldn't really find anything. She was just you know, kind of on Twitter. It wasn't really even a rant. It was just she seemed to be very active, and I just didn't know what was going on. And, you know, because we've talked about the fact that, you know, really she's not a conservative. You know, a lot of people were jumping on that after the first show because her character was a Trump supporter. But last night it seemed that she was, you know, retweeting things from, like, one of them was from Mark Levin, other things from other conservatives on Twitter that she was retweeting. And I thought, I asked you, I said, is she trying to become a conservative? Is she trying to get conservatives to follow her? Yeah, basically get some build some conservative street cred by following other conservatives or retweeting other conservatives. It just didn't, it seemed out of the ordinary. Just seemed kind of odd. And then today, and I texted you just minutes after it broke, but it happened and I was like, okay, why'd they cancel? And then I saw because of Twitter and I said, okay, what did I miss? I knew something odd was going on in my mind. It seemed odd. And then all of a sudden I saw, and then it put that tweet about Valerie Jarrett, put that all together. It told me what that tweet meant. I saw it when she tweeted it. I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't really care. I wasn't following along, you know, close enough to know what the conversation was about. So I just moved on. It didn't mean anything at the time to me. But so she said she was leaving Twitter. Now she's apparently still on Twitter.
Yeah, guys, I did something unforgivable, so do not defend me. It was 2 in the morning. I was ambient tweeting. It was Memorial Day, too. I went too far, and I do not want it defended. It was indefensible. I made a mistake. I wish I hadn't. Please don't defend it. Also wrote, I just want to apologize to the hundreds of people and wonderful writers, quote, all liberal, end of quote, or excuse me, parentheses, not quote, and I don't want that teacher that schooled the White House and grammar to school me. But I just want to apologize to the hundreds of people and wonderful writers, all liberal and talented actors who lost their jobs on my show due to my stupid tweet. So
yeah,
those are some things that she has put out this morning. Look, the first thing when I saw this, I said, not my circus. And look, we had said this in the beginning to people. We said, look, don't invest too much in Roseanne Barr. Remember, Roseanne is the one who said anyone who eats blank, meaning Chick-fil-A, deserves to get cancer. But I'm sure it comes from eating antibiotic-filled tortured chickens, she wrote, when the whole gay marriage thing was going on. You and I have said this. The vast majority of her views, from what we know, are very, very liberal, especially on social ideas. What we even talked about is she responded more to the economic message of Trump, not to the conservative values or not necessarily even conservative economics and certainly not conservative social ideas. So,
right,
as we said, be wary who you decide to jump into the political bed with.
Right.
You can support, as we said, look, it's good to see this going on. You know, where there's a Trump supporter on a show. But be careful.
For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
The active weather continues, especially for that south from the remnants of the system that moved out of the Gulf of Mexico. But today we'll see the primary heavy rain in northern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and western Pennsylvania. We'll see rain east of the Mississippi River through Saturday for the region, connected with that storm system and others moving through the region. Friday, severe weather can be expected in the lower Tennessee Valley. We'll have more on that later in the week. For your forecast today, Los Angeles, partly sunny, 71. Sunny and dry for Dallas today, near 100. We have a low in the area. Remember that winds flow counterclockwise around a low. That's not going to allow for the Gulf moisture to move into the region, so dry conditions. And a chance of showers today for Chicago from that system that came out of the Gulf, 74 the high. Atlanta, more thunderstorms in the forecast, 71. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90 Red Eye.
Tough Guys, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 86690 Red Eye. So you're sitting here telling me that she's tweeting again, and basically she's actually tweeting things of people going after her.
Roseanne Barr's retweeting things where people are just tearing her apart. I mean, on Twitter. One tweet. Roseanne Barr has no place in the public sphere. And it also reads, "At Disney and ABC are profiting off the show and hoping we will let this naked, ugly, hardcore racism slide." This was from 14 hours ago, but she retweeted this. This is how I'm seeing it on her Twitter page. Apology not accepted, someone writes. And I'm seeing it because she retweeted all this. She wrote, let's get back to it. 28 minutes ago, she wrote something. "I'm sorry for my tweet, and I will also defend myself as well as talk to my followers. So go away if you don't like it. I will handle my sadness the way I want to. I'm tired of being attacked and belittled more than other comedians who have said worse. Please don't start," another tweet less than an hour ago. "Please don't start all that boycott ABC stuff. I'm not a censor, and they have the right to do what they wish. It's all okay. Thanks, though, guys." So, you know, she's basically, I guess, taking her lumps here. It's not going to change anything.
No,
she's not going to do anything differently.
No,
and neither is any other broadcaster.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't Roseanne's free speech rights being violated?
Right. Exactly.
We've had that talk with liberals here in the last week. Aren't her free speech rights being violated?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a right to fire her.
Right.
She has a right to say the things that she believes without her employer firing her.
She tweeted an hour ago, "Viacom has pulled all the old Roseanne shows."
Yeah, they're all gone. Yep.
They're done. Yep. Off. And this being the 80s.
Yeah, the old one. Yep.
That were, I don't know if they were on Nick at Night or whatever channel they were on, but they were in. And rerun.
Yeah, they were being there was a number of channels that were repeating her old show. So I read that yesterday. So and I bring that up that wait a minute, the left, shouldn't you be defending her and saying her free speech rights, that you have the right to say what you want? You don't, as the caller said last week, you don't lose any of your rights as a citizen when you go to work. Well, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's interesting because during the day they were saying, well, they should just write her off the show. Well, the show's called Roseanne. It's not called Dan. It's called Roseanne. So that's not going to happen.
Well, and
I feel for the rest of the cast and crew that you know, I mean, they had when you get a network show, they're backing it's like someone told me, a friend of mine told me, it's like they back a truck full of money up to your front door and just dump it on you every year. You know, so for a lot of those actors who, you know, had not been making that kind of money since that show in its original form, you know, this was an opportunity for them to do work again. Not necessarily just to make money, but just to do work again in a high profile setting. But that's gone.
Yeah, and I said I only watched a little bit of the old show, and I did watch the first show when it came out, and you know, just the first half hour. It was an hour, They played the first two episodes. I watched the first one, and then I was really done. Roseanne really wasn't the kind of show that I ever really was. It was funny, but it didn't grab my attention to watch it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And the new one didn't either. And I thought it was fine that they had somebody who was a pro-Trump supporter. But as we said all along, to the so many people that jumped behind it, if she was a conservative, we said, hey, put the brakes on. She's not a conservative.
No.
Never has been.
No.
You know, let's understand the history and also how smart she is. We said that when this all started, you know, the possibility that, yeah, she might like Trump a little bit here, but she also understands a marketing opportunity. And
right.
And so, you know, let's put on the brakes a little bit. This is of Hollywood. And, I actually saw on social media, they're taking the conservatives off the media.
No.
It's like, stop it. She's not a conservative. As we've always said, a lesson to the left. Now I'm assuming that those people that called and said Colin Kaepernick and the NFL has all, you know, the right to protest whenever they want, understand the lesson, because none of them are claiming that Roseanne's free speech rights are being violated. So a number of lessons here. First off, Roseanne was never a conservative. That's a very important lesson for people to understand. And secondly, to all of our friends on the left, no one on the left. I didn't see anyone who has supported the fact that the NFL, that you're violating the rights of those players, not allowing them to protest how they wish to protest during their company time. Remember, this wasn't even on company time for Roseanne.
No, it wasn't.
And still, as we have said, it's their property. They get to do with it what they want. Or it's their time. It's their time spot, and they get to decide what they wish to do with their own property. It's very simple. So this means, I guess, that from now on, we won't have anyone defending from the left the NFL players' right to protest before a game.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll be shown for what you are, which is an absolute hypocrite.
Yeah. And this would be nothing new out of the Roseanne playbook over the years, especially since her original sitcom was gone. She was very good at kind of tuning into what was hot or getting attention in any way, whether it was something that was trending or not. She could get attention by saying something or doing something out of the ordinary. In terms of capitalizing on the whole Trump thing, not the tweet. So for her to, you know, build this sitcom back and have, by the way, which I thought was a good approach because it represented a number of families, I'm sure. It wasn't totally over the top, like things she's done in the past to get attention or to, you know, come up with any idea to do a show. This actually made sense. But, you know, you look at a situation like this, and I don't know of any. If you look at the future of distribution for the old show, I mean, what would it be? DVDs? Well, you need a major studio to do distribution. You're not going to park it on Netflix. They don't have any interest. So it essentially is ending, you know, her career. It's over. I mean, for the time being, I don't see anybody who wants to come anywhere close to this.
No.
There's not one organization out there that wants to be affiliated whatsoever in 2018 with something like this. Period. Not going to happen. Even if you did your own distribution on DVDs, let's say Roseanne bought the rights to her old show, who's going to put it in their stores? You'll be the protests will show up. The protesters will show up. The activists will show up. The only thing she could do is, I guess, put it up on her own website. for downloads or something.
Like yeah, that. And that's, you know, that, you know, she may make a little money off that. But, you know, I know that the first show did good. I don't know how the rest of the ratings did. I mean, I know they were down from the first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they actually were, you know, the last couple of weeks on it. I know that she said she wanted to do a great Halloween show next year. And I also heard that she said that they're going to be dropping a lot of the political stuff out of it.
Which, by the way, was a call by ABC, according to all reports.
Yes,
that was something they wanted her to do, because it, which would show that their research shows the audience gets the point, but they want you to move on from that point. They get what you were doing. They get the you know, the dialogue between the characters and where everybody is. You've established those characters and positioned those characters, or reestablished them, I guess, and repositioned them. Well, now it's about.
Well, let me ask you this: when you have, as we like to call it, the Bubba rhetoric going back and forth, which is a lot of what they threw back. I mean, they weren't talking about the substance of the ideas; they were throwing slogans at each other.
Back
and forth.
Right.
Well, it may be fresh when you see it the first time.
Yeah.
But when America's been doing it for the last 2 years,
it's the same old.
You know, then you know it may seem fresh the first time you see it, but when you see it 25, 30 times within a period of 5 or 6 episodes, is there a burnout factor saying, okay, I've already done this with my family, been there, done that. It was okay when you started, but you can't continue it. Was there a burnout on it, I guess?
We hadn't seen it in that forum yet. We had not seen it on a network sitcom at that level yet. And then we saw it there, and then we got it. And like you said, I think that's a great point that, all right, we've all experienced this, or we experience this every day, either in our real lives or on social media. We don't need this to be our sitcom, which I think is probably, you know, the case. I mean, it's like one of those jokes. Okay, the jokes are okay. I'm sure the writing is fine. I didn't see any of it, but I'm sure it was fine. But you have to move on. You know, you're going to deal with other things, and there are plenty of other things to write about that can be funny. You know, and that's what that show was back in its day. So, but that's done. And I, you know, it's, if you look at the situation right now, she said she was going to leave Twitter. She's clearly not. And she's asking people, like you said in that one tweet, don't defend me. I did something stupid. You know, and then in another tweet about 28 or 30 minutes ago, a little over 30 minutes ago, she said, look, I'm tired of defending myself here, but over something that where comedians have done a lot worse, according to her. But I don't know. This is one of those situations that as a celebrity, you just don't get around it. You don't outpace this. And there's, you know, really nowhere else to go with it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Mark in Jersey City, New Jersey. Mark, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Same here.
Really great to talk to you guys.
Thanks.
Listen, you can't compare a racist like Roseanne Barr with people who are protesting against racism, the NFL players.
Sure you can.
I mean, that is ridiculous.
Well, no.
Ridiculous.
No, it's not. No, it's not, because I'm not talking.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, we're not talking about the content of their comments.
Yes. Will you listen to what we said, not what you think we said? Okay. Will you listen, Mark? All right.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what you say. Freedom of speech is freedom of speech.
Sure.
It doesn't matter whether you believe what she said is more outrageous than the players protesting in the NFL, or whether you believe the players protesting in the NFL are more radical than Roseanne. What they said doesn't matter. It's, is there freedom of speech?
It does matter. No, what people say does matter. If somebody says
No, we're talking about Mark, we're talking about the protection.
We're talking about the protection,
Mark.
We're talking about
speech.
The constitutional protection of free speech, not whether you believe.
Yeah. Well, of course, that, of course.
That's the only point.
That's the only point.
That's the only point that we were making.
Yeah.
That's the only point that we were making.
Yep.
Yes.
Because free speech protects, regardless of how much you disagree. In fact, that's the whole point. Regardless of how much you disagree with that person, or the government may disagree with that person. In fact, everyone in the world, statistically, every other person on the planet could disagree with that person in their position, but it's protected by free speech. It's protected by the First Amendment.
Right.
Now, this is not the ABC situation, nor the NFL situation is a free speech issue. Neither one of them
are free speech issues.
Right,
that's the point we were trying to make.
We were saying by their argument, because they were saying NFL, the whole thing with making the rules a free speech issue, it is not. Free speech isn't about protecting you from punishment from the NFL or players from punishment of the NFL. It's the government that free speech or the First Amendment protects you from.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. And to the last caller, I'm glad you understood what our whole point was there on Roseanne and the NFL. I saw in the Libertarian magazine Reason, they were also talking about and comparing the two and saying that in the NFL, you had many, as they call it, conservative viewers that wanted the NFL to change their policy and force them to do that. And on this side, you had liberals like crazy going after Roseanne for her comment, and they make the same point. Neither is a free speech issue.
Right.
As we've said, that's been our point all along. Neither is a free speech issue, because free speech is about the government. The government either punishing you or restricting your free speech. Neither happened in this case. As we were talking about last week with the NFL, there was no constitutional violation of those players' free speech, as the left was attempting to make over and over again. And after the NFL came out with their policy last week, it came up again. Or was it a week before? Weeks are just flowing one into another. That point was being made again, that the players' free speech rights were being violated. And we said, in neither case, no. And we were stating with Roseanne Barr, with her statements that, where was the left claiming that she had free speech rights? Mm-hmm. And again, we weren't claiming she should, just she has free speech rights in it. We were making the comparison of what the left was claiming free speech was about. Ours was about the actual legal constitutional issues here, not whether you believe that one is worse than the other. You know, what Colin Kaepernick is promoting versus the statement of Roseanne Barr. Ours was not an attempt to have any type of or create a moral equivalency between the two statements.
Mm-hmm.
So, or the action and the statement. Even though you can look at it and say what Colin Kaepernick has done and the message that he has promoted is reprehensible, but they are two different forms of political protest and speech.
Mm-hmm.
They're apples and oranges as to what they did. They weren't even involved with the same issue or topic. So that's the entire point. Now, the interesting thing is, I didn't know that Valerie Jarrett was black until yesterday.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I never thought about it.
I never thought about it. Because when I first saw it, I went, wasn't she born in Iran? And I just went, oh, is she? And I had to look it up.
Right.
I actually had to look it up. But that's good.
Well, because and you're I not, didn't you're, even remember, I mean,
you're not, you're
I
not
didn't
supposed-
remember what she looked like. Keep in mind, she was not somebody who was like the front person in terms of being a surrogate for the White House under Obama. There was a lot of the work that she did was behind closed doors.
Yeah, she was on MSNBC a lot.
Yeah, well, she wasn't, you know, like somebody like a, you know, early on Rahm Emanuel or somebody who was going to be, you know, out there and be the go-to surrogate.
Right. I mean,
so it wasn't
her father. Know, her father was black. Her mother was a fourth black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't really think about her looks at all. I guess. Her appearance at all.
Right. So when I saw this,
I don't think about that in terms of most people. I think about their actions.
I always looked at what is the substance of her ideas. That's the only thing that mattered to me. You know, it's the same thing as a Starbucks thing when Howard Schultz came out and said, bet you most people don't even know, you know, their neighbors and the ethnicities of their neighbors. And we said, well, no, and you shouldn't either because
why should
you care?
I don't care.
That's the whole point in race relations. You don't care what anybody else is. I don't care what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care. I care about you as an individual and the individual relationship and the content of your character and the substance of your arguments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I throw that in because we're in talk radio.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's about the work that you do, the things that you do, especially if you're in a position of power. If you're influencing public policy, that is going to have some kind of, I believe, negative bearing on my life or other people's lives, then that's where I'm concerned. I have no concern about, you know, who you are, where your family's from, where you were born, what skin color you have. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. By the way, Roseanne claimed in a tweet last night, or well, in a response to a tweet, she claimed she thought Valerie Jarrett was Saudi.
Hmm.
So.
Okay.
You know, I didn't know. I just didn't care.
No.
The thought never came into my mind. I just never thought about it. So.
No.
And apparently that's the way it should be. So to the last caller, I hope you understand the point that we were talking about constitutional legal issues. Neither of those statements, or the protest by Colin Kaepernick and the statement by Roseanne Barr, as offensive as it may be, was not yelling fire in a movie theater. Therefore, if the government punished either for free speech, that would be a free speech issue, but the employer doing what they wish to do. Or in the case in Roseanne, I don't know if they were directly an employer, whether she was a sub considered a contractor. I don't know how they actually do that there. But the fact is they own that property, and so they have the right to do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
There is no issue of free speech in either of those issues. That was the point that we were trying to make. 866. Well, that's the point we were making, not trying to make. We made the point. And we're just happy that the last caller understood that point once we explained it to him. Dalton in York, Pennsylvania. Dalton, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being on for y'all, and I appreciate you all speaking your minds like everybody else in this country should.
Thanks. What's up?
I was wondering, I know they canceled this show. I figure her saying this, I figure with it be getting 18 million viewers in the first episode, which is almost as good as the Oscars got, I figure some other station maybe pick it up later on. Like, I remember when the show Last Man Standing was canceled early last year.
Very different.
And they said, they said it was because it wasn't, they didn't get making a lot of money, even when Tim Allen came out and said that America is becoming like Nazi Germany with all the political correctness. And I know Fox just picked that up. I figure they might bring somebody might pick the show up because with all the people that were watching it at the time,
it's not going to happen. Those are two different comments. The ones by by Tim Allen and then the comment that Roseanne made on Twitter. Very different comments. That it's just not going to happen, especially when you have Viacom now canceling all of the old reruns that were in rotation on their other properties. It's really not going to happen at all. I don't see anyone, in fact, doing business with Roseanne for the foreseeable future. It likely isn't going to happen. It's just the world we live in today. You can try and defend her comments and say she's just a comedian or they were stupid comments or she apologized and they should get over it. You can go down all those roads, but it's not going to change the fact that because just imagine, let's say it were Fox, just using that example because that's the network that picked up Tim Allen's show. But if Fox or another network were to pick it up, they would actually be better off by just saying, hey, we're a bunch of racists, now come protest our network, because that wouldn't cost them a dime. Spending money on Roseanne is only going to invite the protesters and the boycotts and everything else, and nobody wants to open that door. No one. It's not going to happen. Just not going to happen.
Thanks. I believe that everybody has the right to speak their mind. I don't agree with what she said at all. I think it was wrong. But me personally, I've seen with all the people on the left, like they're saying about Colin Kaepernick and on the NFL talking about that. I mean, I remember me personally. I was in West York. There was a former mayor over there who said some things about Obama on the online, who everybody wanted his head on a stick. So I went down there and I said a few things about how this guy was saying stuff about Obama, but then you got Black Lives Matter going out there and a lot of them calling for the murder of police officers. And they really got angry at me saying that. And as I was going home, about 40 yards from my front door, I stopped, and about three or four carloads of guys pull up from my building, and these guys get out and they start yelling stuff about, we're going to get you, white boy, and you're a dead man.
Well, that would be that's wrong for anybody to do.
Right. Yeah.
Violence or threats are not acceptable.
And we understand that because Roseanne made some comments, tweeted earlier about, you know, comedians saying worse or doing worse or whatever. You can try and defend it or point to the other side all day long. It's not going to change the situation that she's in. It's just not. There's no way that any studio, any broadcast entity would jump into this. Not going to happen.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on inspections. If you're cited for a vehicle defect during a roadside inspection but are not put out of service, you're still expected to arrange necessary repairs. Any future roadside inspections will result in the same violation if it's not taken care of. If you arrange the repair during the same workday, you must keep the maintenance receipt as documentation that the repair was made. If the repair is not made right away, your next post-trip vehicle inspection report must show the defect. The technician, or you if you're authorized to make or oversee the repairs, must certify the problem was fixed. The first time the vehicle is operated after the repair requires the driver, which may be you, to acknowledge the problem was corrected. This tip brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us on jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Ron in Maryland about Roseanne. Ron, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking the call. I just wanted to make an observation in terms of Viacom responding so quickly to Roseanne's comment and pulling all of the, not only the new shows by ABC, but the old shows.
They, by the way, they don't,
from the 80s and the 90s.
By the way, Viacom doesn't control ABC, just to be clear. They control other properties, but not ABC. I said other properties earlier, but they're not part of ABC. But go ahead. Make your point.
Oh, okay. Good, good. And to see the parallel with TV One and BET still continuing to run the old reruns.
Okay, BET. BET is let me just BET is no longer. They dropped the Cosby Show a ways back. Also, you had what is it? Centric TV, Bounce TV, all have dumped Cosby since it. I did still see it on TV One's schedule when I saw your call coming, but I haven't seen. I've seen a number of articles that say the only place it's still left is on Amazon Prime, and they're being criticized for it. I did see one say in late April that TV One was still carrying it, but there was a ton of criticism coming out. And the reason that BET dropped Cosby, and this was before the conviction, was because of an immense amount of criticism that was coming from their own viewers on it. So the criticism is out there. If TV One is still playing it, I don't know how many people actually get that particular cable channel, but there is, if you look it up, you do see that there is outrage, and the majority of TV networks that were carrying Cosby dropped him.
And to say there's a double standard, these are different operations. These are different broadcasting entities. ABC could have made the decision to, okay, we're going to suspend her, or we're going to, you know, develop a different show and Dan's going to be on it. Or they could have done a number of things. But their decision is separate from any other entity. You can point to the double standard, and we do know that there is a double standard on the, you know, in terms of the left.
Mm-hmm.
But don't put Roseanne on the right. That's where you're making the mistake, because she's not a conservative.
Right.
I don't know. In her heart of hearts, I can't tell you what's in her heart if she supports Trump, but she has not been a conservative. This isn't something. And by the way, we said this before yesterday. This isn't so. In fact, before that tweet, I was asking you off the air yesterday, what is she doing?
Yeah.
Is she trying to buy some street cred by retweeting other conservatives and making some comments? I forget what they were, but some other comments along the way. I think some were like Hillary comments or something. But she was doing that, and I said it looks kind of odd. So that's the mistake. Yes, there is a double standard politically and how people on the right are treated versus people on the left. But don't put her on the right, because that's not necessarily true. And she may have been or may be a Trump supporter. She may be changing politically. I don't know. But historically, she has not been on the right.
No, not at all. I mean, as you know, she even said, well, she likes some of Trump's economic things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she meant by that. Mm-hmm. As we said, yeah, it was good to see that, you know, just like Tim Allen. It was, but you can't compare the statements of Roseanne over the years.
No.
To anything that Tim Allen has done.
No.
I've always wondered, though. I thought that the left would attack him more because of his cocaine conviction.
Right. Yeah.
Back
right.
then, and I was wondering. I said, oh, they don't seem to be getting on Tim Allen for that. I was just thinking about that yesterday when I was thinking about both Roseanne and Tim Allen, because I knew that would come up on the show, and I said, you know, nobody in the left really goes. You'd think they'd go after Tim Allen for that, but maybe that's so far back in his history where just go, okay, that's going back 30, 40 years ago. Where
right.
It really doesn't.
And he's talked openly about it, but,
oh,
but
yes,
still,
yeah,
it would
yeah,
be,
right.
Typically, it would be a target.
Yeah, and I just haven't. But when you look at the statements that, you know, Tim Allen has made compared to a Roseanne over the years, it's not even close.
No.
Not even in the same ballpark. And if we're speaking ballpark, remember when she sang the national anthem?
Oy. You know, I remember one time Kelsey Grammer was on, I think, The Tonight Show. And he talked about, I don't know if it was the Golden Globes or the Emmys or something, or a show of his was being canceled or wasn't being renewed, you know, that I forget what was going on at the time, but he talked about it fairly openly on that couch. I'm pretty sure it was the Tonight Show with Leno. He talked about being a conservative in Hollywood. There are lots of forces that work against you. Now, he's still done, you know, pretty well for a guy who's a conservative. He's still working, I believe, on a regular basis. And I think James Woods could probably share with our audience plenty of the stories. And we know some actors who have not come out officially as being conservatives, but we know personally in that they are conservatives.
We do.
And we're not about to out them. They can do that themselves. That wouldn't be fair to them. But they, you know, certainly have shared those stories, you know, behind the scenes of how if they were to talk about, you know, what they believe, then they would probably be shut out and they probably would lose their agent and they would probably, you know, not be working very much, you know, and they're not very old people. They're not, it's not like being at retirement age for these folks.
They have no fear. Eric Hurley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Now ABC is going to have to deal with the fallout of this and the criticism that comes along, whether it's Joy Behar's comments earlier this year about Mike Pence and the mental illness of his Christianity, or the fact that it looks like that ESPN is, what, hiring Keith Olbermann?
Right, expanding his role at ESPN,
right,
which is a Disney-owned property. The point being is that if you're going to make that, if you're going to say that Roseanne doesn't reflect the values, then what are the values? You're going to have to define the values to the consuming public. I mean, if that's because otherwise people are going to come after you with, and there were plenty of us who were concerned about Joy Behar's comments and with Vice President Pence equating his religious beliefs to mental illness. That's by the way, that's not a target. That's not somebody targeting Vice President Pence. It's also someone targeting all Christians and their beliefs. Because you, too, if you believe like Mike Pence, then you, too, would be mentally ill.
By the way, one thing that I love, Washington Examiner, Beckett Adams' opinion column.
Yeah.
Just what America needs. Keep Olbermann's career rehabilitated for the umpteenth time.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, and here's the whole point. We need to get politics out of ESPN. Let's expand Keith Olbermann's role.
Exactly. Right, right. Well, which is funny because I said to you right before we went on the air, you know, because ABC and Disney, well, this Roseanne does not reflect the values of our company. Well,
ESPN doesn't reflect.
Well, here's the thing.
Does ESPN?
Does ESPN. But we do know that Keith Olbermann reflects the values at ESPN. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Right.
You know, if you're going to be, because they're going to interject politics apparently now into everything at ESPN, which they've been doing for quite some time. So now they're just going to ramp it up by hiring the head of the resistance to be on MSNBC ESPN.
Well, at least he gets out of his basement.
I don't know. Will he do a show from his basement still? We'll know if the video keeps buffering. We'll know if he's still in his basement. Wow. But yeah, that is the comparison that you can make,
right? Because it's ABC.
It's the same company, and so they can, you know. And by the way, they can define their values however they want to. But people are asking the question: is this how you're going to let this person get away with that kind of comment, which we find offensive? But the other comment, which you find offensive, offensive is not okay. This one is, regardless of how many people in the audience found it offensive. And I'm talking about Joy Behar and her comments on Vice President Pence and Christianity in general.
And you might make the case, though, that the only place that it's totally safe to be some type of, you know, bigot or homophobe is MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really
right.
Really about the last place that's left where you're safe.
Right.
So, yeah, you might be able to make that comment. But when comparing what's going on right now, we like to make it apples to apples, which is, okay, now everything that ABC does will be examined by those on the right. Just remember, as we said, though, be very careful. Understand that she may have been a Trump supporter. She is not a conservative.
No.
When we talk about Roseanne Barr. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm thinking maybe MSNBC could start a new show, Joy and Joy. Overjoyed or something like that. Again, they can make their choices however they want to. I don't expect them to respond to, you know, to the backlash and the people pointing at Joy Behar's comments. They've dealt with that. They're likely not going to revisit that. They're not going to revisit the Keith Olbermann thing because he actually does represent the values of ESPN currently. And so that's not going to change either. I don't expect either to change. I'd be very, very surprised if they did react. Now, it's possible that Olbermann or Joy Behar could say or tweet something in the future that gets them fired. But thus far, I doubt anything's going to happen. That's just the world we live in. So, and it's their property. Disney and ABC, Disney, our former employer, by the way.
Yes, we used to work for Disney.
Yeah, they can make whatever choice they're going to make.
And just
so
you know,
that's theirs to make.
When we work for Disney, mm-hmm. and Eric and I worked together, not on this show, mm-hmm. but Eric and I worked together on our previous show, which is the evolution of this show, which was the evolution of another show, which was the evolution of another show, going all the way back to 1969.
Mm-hmm.
But when we worked for Disney, we would get calls, people saying, well, you guys work for that right wing. You work for the corporate right wing interest. We work for Disney.
Yeah, It's not that difficult to figure out.
This was back then. We don't work for Disney now.
No, we do not. We work for a better company.
Yes.
So I just, again, we understand everyone's frustration. We see what's going on in the comments on social media. And by the way, they're all valid points. The question is something going to be done about it? I don't expect anything to be done about it. I don't expect Roseanne's situation to change. I don't expect the Joy Behar or Keith Olbermann situation to change. Barring something that they, you know, either one of those, Olbermann or Behar, might say or tweet in the future. If they do something that is out of line,
that's today. We have no idea now that if he gets an audience again, we have no idea what Keith Olbermann will do.
Mm-hmm. He might feel empowered to go full on. Who knows? Maybe. Or maybe he does and they don't care. Just keep in mind the media world we live in today. Again, this is not to position Roseanne on the right because she's not a conservative.
Well, look, if ESPN's going to do it, they should just make Olbermann he's the host of the new show, NFL Resistance.
The NFL Resistance. No, I could see that, actually. Maybe that's why they're expanding his role.
That's why I said it.
Yeah, that's
part actually, of it was serious.
No, that's I think that's quite possibly why they're giving him, you know, because he's probably going to be part of some kind of pregame, postgame rant. You know, I could see him doing commentary. They said expanded role, but I could see him. I don't know if it's going to be on SportsCenter or where it's going to be. Does it matter? But it's, you know, it's between.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it could be.
They might make him cover bowling.
Or World Series of Poker. But the.
Or soccer.
Right. But it, you know, who knows? I could see them, you know, putting him there to make social comments. That's why you hire a Keith Olbermann in 2018. They're not hiring him to do sports analysis.
Let's be clear. Let's be very, very clear.
I want to hear what Keith Olbermann has to say about the Yankees.
I was going to say, how do you feel about, I was actually going to use that team. How do you feel about the Yankees, Keith? What do you think they need to do this season, Keith? Nope. That's not why he's there.
Keith, who would you have taken in the fourth round?
Exactly. Right.
Trump
right.
sucks.
That's right.
He's a Nazi.
Not Trump.
Not Trump.
Exactly. every answer. No, seriously. Just put him on a loop and have him do sports analysis for every single match or game. Keith, who do you think is going to win? Not Trump. Okay, thanks, Keith. Just have him say that. Just an automated response.
Did you hear Charlie Sheen tweeted?
Hmm.
Basically about, since Roseanne's gone, how about now
a reboot?
A man reboot.
Of Two and a Half Men. Two and a Half Men. Yeah. You know, Charlie,
I'm like,
I think.
Charlie, just go into the background.
That, look, I think the door's closed on that. Move on. Move on. I watched a couple of episodes
to get me to laugh.
Over the weekend, and the old episodes with him on it, and they were, you know, they were good. I mean, they were funny. The writing was funny, but I don't know that you can revive that. I don't know that you could revive that in a 2018 because some of those jokes,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And they're just a few years old.
Here's an idea, and maybe, you know, Charlie could produce this or something. Just have a spinoff, and since Roseanne's gone, just call it Berta.
Ah, there you go. Right. No, that actually could be funny. I would like to see her in a show.
I know.
That would be great. Her character was great, I thought. Yeah.
Did you ever see when, I'll never forget, and I can't remember, can't remember the name of the actress, but I'll never forget when Charlie was let go. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to find cast members. So they found her. And what is she doing? She looks like a normal person. She is pushing her shopping cart with groceries through the supermarket parking lot to her car.
Yeah.
That's where she's pushing through. What do you think? She goes, I love everybody. I love everybody. I love Charlie. We'll miss him. I love everybody on the show. It's too bad, but love everyone. So basically, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
She politically knows how to answer these things, too, with TMZ all over her.
Right. There's two people that I've seen do that very well on TMZ, you know, with the paparazzi. Her and Hugh Jackman. He's like, he will stop and start asking the photog the question. Hey, yeah, do you have kids? Oh, yeah, okay, great. Well, how many kids you have? And he's like giving them all the time in the world.
Now
and
you know
like,
something.
Okay, now
that's
boring.
That's what you do. My dad taught me that with telemarketers.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Oh, my kids will tell you stories where I've kept them on the phone for 20 minutes.
Oh, my dad.
I was just about to buy something, and then click. I hung up.
My dad has the telemarketers hang up on him. Now wait. But you're trying to sell me this. I want to find out more specific details.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't have the time. You know, mm-hmm. it's like he just keeps stretching it out. I go, Dad, you know, is this what you do when you're retired?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my kids, back in the day when we had a landline, it would be so great because inevitably they call during dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we would put them on speakerphone, and sometimes I'd pass the phone around. And just have the kids just ask them questions. Why not? I mean, if you're going to call me and bother me,
right.
You know, without making an appointment or anything else, it's unsolicited.
Yeah, the great
solicitation.
The great Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Look, I'm busy right now. Can I have your number and call you back at home later on?
Right. Click.
Well, no. Well, you know how I feel. Boom.
Exactly. You know, and we always had fun with it. I mean, I kept one on the phone for nearly 20 minutes one time. Just had a ball with it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
A It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in. Is she still tweeting, or did she stop?
No, she's been very active, still, in fact.
Okay.
Is doing not many tweets of her own, but retweeting some things, including things that are not in her favor.
Well,
in recent minutes.
She put out that tweet earlier stating that... Hey, don't defend me, is what she said. So we'll see where this this goes, and we'll take more of your calls and comments coming up on that following the top of the hour. Here's an interesting one now. When you get involved in politics, and everybody is going to call you on it, right?
Yep.
Pro-Life Coalition to the Starbucks CEO, if you care about racism, then stop supporting Planned Parenthood. Mm. And that's the point of that. We know that as a percentage of their population, many more blacks are having abortions than whites as a percentage of their population.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as we know, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, was a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're saying is you shouldn't be supporting an organization that was founded by a racist that we believe commits racist actions.
Right.
You open the door, here you go.
Well, I mean, in the world where we're taking down statues and we're doing things that, you know, in our past, and we're erasing things, you know, from our history, if we're looking back and saying, well, we can't support that because of this, and we can't support that because of this, and this must go away, how do you not apply it here, right? That's
exactly,
you know, that's
right.
The question. I mean, if it's going to be a true standard. But of course it's not.
Well, but once you open the door, as we have said, if your corporation open your door to politics and say that we care about these things, well, then everybody's going to, you know, come at you. As we said, from a business perspective, Starbucks should have always been, as most coffee shops are, about what?
Coffee.
Maybe donuts.
Yep. End of it.
Maybe pastries, sandwiches, but coffee. You shouldn't get involved in politics. Now, this is business advice. But as a property owner and a business owner, you can do as you wish.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Hi. Thanks for being here this morning. So here we go. Looking at here, the top 10 cities where millennials reside with mom. How come they don't include dad?
Dad's busy.
Miami, Fort Lauderdale, 33.4%. New York City, 30.3%. Los Angeles, Long Beach, Anaheim, 30.2%. Philadelphia, 28.5%. Chicago, 26%. They focused on households in the 50 largest metro areas. Because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, when I first saw this, I went, wait a minute, they're all large cities. So nobody's living with their parents in the small cities. They only included the largest metros.
Okay.
Atlanta, 23.3%. Boston, 23.2%. Houston, 22.3%. Washington, D.C., 28.8. Dallas, Fort Worth, 19.7. So there you go.
All right.
As they say here, 23% of millennials live with their mother, according to a new report from Zillow. In 2005, 14% did. To crunch the numbers, Zillow analyzed U.S. Census Data Bureau U.S. Bureau data from 2005 to 2016, focusing on households in the 50 largest metros. It included a mom and a younger resident aged 24 to 36. So not all millennials, not 18 to 36, but 24 to 36. You would have expected young adults living at home to return to historic norms, said the senior economist at Zillow, speaking on how we've recovered from the housing bubble. But the trend hasn't decreased. If anything, it has increased.
All right.
Student loan debt has also become a major barrier to home ownership in America. More than 80% of people 22 to 35 with student debt and who haven't bought a house yet blame their educational loans, according to the National Association of Realtors. Which brings you and I to the question that we have always asked. When does the return on investment mindset start lowering college costs? And that's when students start saying, you know something? I don't need that kind of a college education anymore. I am going to go to a trade school, or I'm going to go to a community college. But I don't need to go to that expensive school anymore. The return on the investment isn't there. Here's the point. You and I, one time we had John Taffer from Bar Rescue on. Mm-hmm. And we asked the question, how can these people, if you've ever seen Paramount Network now?
Right.
It used to be Spike. If you've seen Bar Rescue, and many people I know have, and they really like the show, but you and I, we asked a question to John Taffer one time. It blows our mind that people are in this kind of debt over a bar and seem still not to be concerned, that they still fight you at every single turn. No, I still want to do what I want to do. And probably this came out of the pirate episode. The woman who had the pirate bar, was that in Maryland, I believe? She had the pirate bar, and you know, and he changed her into a, you know, using the science of here's where the money is and everything else. And after he left, she went back to being a pirate bar and then went out of business. And we just said, what's wrong with people? And we asked a question. We said, do people not view money like our generation did? Is it just numbers to them?
Yeah.
Because you and I talked about the fact that if we had a restaurant, and let's say we were making a profit of, $1,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
and it went down to $800. Well, that first month, we'd say we'd be concerned. The second month that it was at 800, we'd be extremely concerned. The third month, if it went down to 700, we'd be in a panic. Now, we're still making a profit. But the fact that it wouldn't be increasing would panic us early on. Why? Because of our value of money and understanding the fact that you can't have a business that continually loses money.
Right.
And so if we have that value of a dollar, why doesn't that value of a dollar exist to these people? Why are they still doing the same things? Why are they still in their same pathologies of doing business that is completely negative? And then they fight you at every turn instead of embracing you.
It's funny because when I asked him that question, that couple had $900,000, nearly $1 million in debt on that business. And I was asking him, is this a generational thing, John, or what is, do they just see it on paper? Really what it comes down to, I think, is that it's somebody else's money. It's borrowed money. If they had saved up $1 million, if they had worked really hard for a number of years and saved up $1 million for that business and put that all in a vault or even a bank account, every moment that that money was whittled away, they would be concerned. When it's someone else's money, they're not. Now, I am, because if I borrow money, I know that I have to keep my credit worthiness alive in order to be in that situation in the future. If I want to borrow money, I have to prove that I'm worthy. But how many people in this world right now, in society, believe that well, it's borrowed money. It's not my money. I really don't care about it.
Well, they, and this, I guess, is the question I have about these college students. That's why I brought up the Bar Rescue thing is, you know, they take out these loans. Now, I was smart enough at 18 years of age, for as immature as I probably was in a variety of different areas, I wasn't there. I was, no way was I taking out at that time, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, not hundreds of thousands as it would be today, but tens of thousands of dollars to go to any type of college outside of a basic college. That's all, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get a degree, and there was no way, and I took out $1,000. That was it. I took it out my first year, kept it in the bank for 4 years, and then right before I had to start paying interest on it, paid the whole thing back. Mm-hmm. And I gained interest on it for the 4 years that I was in school, but I only took out that $1,000 loan, and I worked two jobs to go to college. But I didn't want to get into debt over college. I knew that at 18. Why? Because I knew that even if I borrowed the money, I still had to pay it back, so it was still my money. Because I was going to have to pay it back down the road, which would have been my money, and I didn't want to do it. And I was smart enough by the time I got from 18 to 22 to realize you pay off the lump sum so you don't pay any interest on this student loan. Mm-hmm. And so I waited right to the last day. I remember going to the bank. It was the last day. The next day, you know, the interest would, the payments and interest would start kicking in. I went to the bank and paid it off that day. And so if I was smart enough, or immature as I was at that time, then what's going on, you know, what's going on today? Now, the point is, these kids are living at home. They're complaining about their student loan debt. So now they realize it is their money because mm-hmm. they're paying that money each and every month. Mm-hmm. Will this change the generation after? Will their children, because of the lessons learned from their parents who got into debt, will that change what's going on when it comes to people's college choices in the next 30 years?
First of all, I'd have to be able to measure how many of them believe that debt is theirs. How many of them really? Now, it will keep you from owning a home because you go to apply and it's going to show up on your credit. And so if that monthly payment on that debt is too high, your debt to income ratio is too high, you don't qualify. You may not qualify, in fact, to rent in some areas. So, but the question is, how many believe that are in that situation, believe that somebody else should take care of that money or take care of that debt for them?
Well, they may think that, but the reality is they're making the payments. That's why they're living in mom's home.
Well they are right now because right. It's likely, if they're working, it's likely garnished from their wages.
Right.
So that's not a choice. It's not about the obligation.
No,
it's
but
about,
everybody, every young person isn't defaulting.
No, I'm not saying they are. That's right. not what I'm saying. I'm not saying whether they're making the payments or not. How many of them believe, like Bernie Sanders taught them, that you shouldn't have to pay your college loan?
Right. That may be in the back of their mind, but the point was the reality is they are making the monthly payments, which means it's their money that's paying for their, they realize their money has to pay for their college until they file bankruptcy or do whatever. They may still think I shouldn't have to do it.
Or think
that
Bernie is going to come along and pay it for them.
Right.
Yes.
But the reality,
that's my point.
But the reality is they're paying it right now and Bernie didn't save them.
Yet. because the liberals haven't won again. Wait for it.
Well, Bernie.
Liberals have to promise more stuff, right. More free stuff.
But
this is the type of thing they'll promise.
My point was not to get political. It was the fact that will this change them when it comes to their kids when they look and say, look, I had to pay for, you know, I had to pay my student loan and it took me 10 years to do it or took me 15 years to do it. You're not going to go to this college.
Well,
you're not going to do this.
I think it relates to the whole Taffer story, actually. I don't know that it's necessarily exclusively political when you talk about a generation, again, not all of them, but a generation that believes, that clearly believes, well, their debt's not theirs. If they borrowed their money for whatever reason, that their debt's not theirs, and the rich guy should be paying this, why am I stuck in this situation?
We know that's true because, as we said, the only thing that really came out of, the Occupy Wall Street, the mm-hmm. only thing that came out of that is that we shouldn't have to pay back the banks for our college loans.
Right.
Because we weren't able to get the job that we wanted to pay back our college loans, and we said, "Well, you should be blaming the college for that, not the banks."
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you made the decision. The college is the one that told you whatever you claim they told you. the bank simply loans you the money for it.
It's like,
well, now it's the federal government doing it. But I guess I wonder if this will make, because we know that there is the ebb and flow. We know that they talk about the generation under 18, that they seem to be more conservative right now. And I guess my question will be, because our parents were in the recession, how we were brought up compared to maybe how our kids were brought up by our generation, because we didn't go through a recession. And then, you know, the financial lessons that you learn. And I know we have to include the political narrative in there also, which is stronger than ever, that you're a victim of any loan that you take out.
Well, I mean, I think it goes beyond it. You know, it's certainly used in the political realm. But I think it is part of a mentality that exists, you know, because they've been taught that for so long. They've been, you know, people have been saying that. That's a learned behavior that many of them wholly subscribe to, which is disturbing. That it's not mine, that a big bank should be able to write this off, or the rich people should pay for it. I mean, it goes back to that couple in California. Well, we supported Obamacare. We knew somebody was going to have to pay for it. We didn't know we were going to have to foot the bill for it. Well, of course you are. And you will if Bernie or anybody else decides they're going to, you know, if they win or get power enough to control the situation, enough power to lead us to a point where the government wants to pay off student loans. Well, guess what? Your college education just became worthless because you've been given something. You've been given a handout, and businesses will the free market will judge that as such. Be careful what you ask for, because if you ask for something to be free, then the free market will see it as worthless.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio, he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Stock market down, 300 and almost 400 points yesterday.
Right, yeah.
And we'll get to the specifics of that coming up following the bottom of the hour. I had a look at the clock, didn't know what time it was here for a moment. Couple of things, you know, the administration, for the time being, reversing what they reversed last week when it comes to China. And who knows, by the time we get to talking about it, it may be reversed again.
Right.
And also the situation in Italy, which is really interesting. And it shows you, you know, it's almost brick by brick by brick. You can almost see that in every country, it's slowly growing. Why are we a part of a European Union?
You know, it's interesting because it looks like there will be another election because they couldn't form a government in Italy. And this growing movement that could take over before, you know, the vote hits, that would have Italy exiting the European Union. Quiddly is what they're calling it.
Quiddly. And in this particular case, what caused it yesterday, you had two political parties, mm-hmm. The far right party and the biggest party, I can't think of their name right now, that wanted a prime minister who was appointed, who was a Eurosceptic. Just love
right,
that term.
Right, yeah.
A Eurosceptic, and the president didn't choose him, and that just created chaos going on right now. One of the things that the European Union is trying to do is to get every country to put in tons of cash, to all contribute to put in tons of cash to help any of the other nations that happen to have debt problems. Well, that's not being well received by a significant portion of Italy.
Well, it's funny because these socialist nations are finding out about socialism. But
we don't like it.
Well, they don't want to tie their economy to the worst economies and then
right.
bail the other. You're basically putting all of your money into one pool.
And it doesn't, the worst of those economies in that group, there's really no incentive to go on because the best of economies will float them. Well, the people in those nations are saying, no, we don't want to bail you out. You're on your own. So tying them all together in that way, you know, didn't make any sense to begin with. And now they're finding out the reality of actually what it would cost. Because at some point, as Margaret Thatcher said, you run out of other people's money. And they don't want to be bailing out other economies. I mean, they have problems with their own economy. They have problems. Each of those nations has issues they want to deal with. And the people of those nations want to be governed by people they have access to and that have accountability to the people.
Right.
That's a big, big deal.
So what you're talking about is democratic representation.
Mm-hmm.
They wish to truly have a republic where representatives that they put right. into office control where their money actually goes.
Yeah.
Without bureaucrats who don't represent them, but other nations make decisions on. They don't like that.
For Video Road Log, here's your forecast.
The active weather continues, especially for that south from the remnants of the system that moved out of the Gulf of Mexico. But today we'll see the primary heavy rain in northern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and western Pennsylvania. We'll see rain east of the Mississippi River through Saturday for the region, connected with that storm system and others moving through the region. Friday, severe weather can be expected in the lower Tennessee Valley. We'll have more on that later in the week. For your forecast today, Los Angeles, partly sunny, 71. Sunny and dry for Dallas today, near 100. We have a low in the area. Remember that winds flow counterclockwise around a low. That's not going to allow for the Gulf moisture to move into the region, so dry conditions. And a chance of showers today for Chicago from that system that came out of the Gulf, 74 the high. Atlanta, more thunderstorms in the forecast, 71. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Save Society, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Well, one of the things that you and I talked about, and we talked about it yesterday, too, that what happened over this past weekend, which was the whole thing on the Donald Trump and the spy and Giuliani and a spy within the campaign, and all of a sudden we're being told there's not a spy. Trey Gowdy even came out yesterday, and you and I were saying, we listened to what he had to say, well, you know, there really wasn't a spy, and Trump should be happy that they were investigating it, even though they were never looking at Trump for anything. And you and I are saying, nobody's making any kind of sense on this.
Right.
Nobody. Nobody's making it. It's like, you're talking about this, but when we know that there was an informant in there, nobody is debating the informant. And so you and I are asking ourselves, are we missing something on this? What are we missing?
Right. Which is exactly what we've been asking for from the beginning, and that is, okay, great, put everything out there then. Answer the questions.
And so on Fox News yesterday on Brett Baer, he wasn't in, a substitute in for him, but Washington Post writer Karen Tumulty and the Federalist columnist and Fox News contributor Molly Hemingway were on. And talking about the whole thing, the president's accusation that there was a spy inside of his 2016 campaign. Because you and I are sitting there saying, well, Comey's saying one thing. Clapper's saying, well, no, there was a person in there. It's just an informant. And we're saying, is this just semantics over what to call a spy? And then we heard Trey Gowdy, well, there wasn't a spy in the campaign. And Trump should be glad that they were investigating what was going on. And we're just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And it's exactly what we thought, and I figured I would play this from Molly Hemingway going back and forth with the Washington Post writer Karen Tumulty about this, because it's exactly what you and I have always said nothing really has changed whatsoever. And here's part of their back and forth when they go at it about what happened this past weekend.
Well, a couple things just from those clips. We keep on hearing about these people being lifelong Republicans, and then when they actually talk, we find out that that is not the whole story. James Comey just wrote a book and went on a media tour begging people to vote for Democrats. That's a lifelong Republican. Maybe Republican versus Democrat isn't the best way to view this so much as establishment versus outsider. And Marco Rubio apparently is unaware that the FBI opened an investigation into the Trump campaign. He says there's no investigation of the Trump campaign. That's not a secret. They opened an investigation during the campaign. What we have learned in the last week due to reporting in the Washington Post and New York Times is that this investigation involved far more surveillance than we ever had any idea about. It wasn't just a wiretap against a campaign aide that was able to, you know, where a wiretap you can use, you can look at email communication going back into history and looking at who that person was talking to. It was also national security letters, which are secret subpoenas. And we know of at least one informant, someone secretly gathering information for the government on the Trump campaign. You're supposedly not allowed to call that a spy. I think in the normal world, people call that spying. But whatever it is, this is unprecedented. And the lack of journalistic curiosity about what was going on, how this was allowed to happen, and whether protocol was followed is frankly scandalous.
Oh, wait a minute, though, Molly. You just were quoting stories from the Washington Post and then complaining about lack of journalism.
The Washington Post, after breaking news that there were spies on the campaign, then runs a bunch of stories saying this isn't spying. And this is, you know, we have no idea what Donald Trump is talking about when he's complaining about what was happening in his campaign. They're stepping on their own stories. And you're seeing this in the New York Times and Washington Post and other media outlets acting like it's ridiculous for people to think that this is actually a huge deal, that our government was engaged in this type of surveillance of political opponents. And you're not seeing the level of questioning. When was the last time President Obama was asked, what did he know? When did he find out? What are his thoughts about this?
Well, I do think that Marco Rubio does have a good point, though, which is that ultimately the distinction here, I think, is going to be whether they were investigating a campaign or whether they were investigating a number of individuals on that campaign who we know had a lot of contact with the Russians that may or may not have had anything to do.
The FBI already admitted
they
opened up.
That may or may not have had anything to do with the outcome of the election, but their own various business deals.
Whether the FBI opened up an investigation into the Trump campaign is not in dispute. They have admitted that they have done that, that they had done that. That is not a question. And so this is something that Senator Rubio should know.
There you go.
Yeah, because it seems kind of bizarre. Rubio and others kind of jumping out in front of this. And I'm, you know, again, well, wait a minute. What was the purpose of this person being there? And why wouldn't you go to the campaign at the time? The head of the campaign being Donald Trump. If it were something legitimate outside of the campaign itself, really had nothing to do with the campaign itself, then wouldn't you go to the head of the campaign, whether it was, you know, the person in charge of the campaign or the nominee or candidate himself at that time, and say, listen, we got to let you know that here's what we've seen, and these individuals, you know, this has been, you know, odd behavior, because we're not talking about at this point. Think about the players that we know that they were following. Were they major players? Papadopoulos? Carter Page?
Well, that's the thing. Now we're being... This is what doesn't make sense. They were serious enough, you know, Carter Page, to get a FISA warrant on, a secret warrant.
Right.
But now we're being told, well, no. As Carol Tumulty was trying to explain... They weren't going after the Trump campaign. These were just specific individuals who joined the campaign that may have had communications with the Russians that had nothing to do with collusion or anything, you know, collusion to change the election. They were just investigating these individuals and not the campaign at all. Well, yeah, they were, because the whole FISA warrant was based on Russia collusion to affect the outcome of the election. So nothing makes sense. It's like they try to downplay one thing, and it's like, well, you can't downplay that because a month later you were doing this.
Right.
So you can't say that this meant nothing. And if it meant nothing, then what did they find out to make them go to the FISA court in order to do it. You should be willing to let that all out so the American public has a clear understanding of why you believe or why the FBI believed that they needed to investigate the Trump campaign, because then they went after the Trump campaign. But it's being made now as to, well, this informant was in, oh, we weren't suspecting Trump or anybody in the campaign of doing anything. These are just specific individuals who had relationships with Russians that we were concerned with. Well, I can't buy that story based on everything that happened afterwards. So please, somebody explain it to me.
Right. It doesn't. None of this adds up. None of this adds up. And it's just bizarre, because if you look at the positions that Carter Page and Papadopoulos held in the campaign, they were minor players in the campaign. And the FBI would have known that, which would have been, that means then you're not doing any harm if you go to Trump and campaign manager at the time and say, look, we're looking at these two individuals and you should know that we're investigating this and we've got some information on them, because it would have been nothing to get rid of a Carter Page who never met Trump and or a Papadopoulos in that situation. It would not have been damaging to the campaign. So it's not like the FBI would have felt like they were interfering with a campaign or any other concern that they would have with approaching the campaign.
And because here, and I think that's the best point. The FBI is looking at this. The FBI knew that Papadopoulos and Carter Page did not know Donald Trump.
Right.
So it were being told that Papadopoulos and Carter Page didn't know, that they knew they didn't know Trump, and now we're being told that the informant, the spy, don't call it a spy, it was an informant. It was a human source.
Mm-hmm.
So we're being told that the FBI went after them, Carol Tumulty was saying this from the Post, maybe only because of their past dealings with the Russians that had nothing to do with collusion. Well, a month later it did.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did they learn?
Right.
What took them from, oh, this is a nothing and we're not investigating Trump. These are just two individuals whose name has come up that did dealings, and so we just want to make sure we know what they're doing. And a month later, we need to get a FISA warrant for Carter Page because this involves a Trump campaign possibly colluding with the Russians to, at that point, hack the election.
Right.
You know, how did it get from you can't have it both ways is our point. So somebody fill in the blanks for us.
Yeah, I mean, because Trey Gowdy was on Fox News on Tuesday evening, and he made comments to the effect that, well, you know, the FBI was doing exactly what Trump would want them to do. In fact, he said to Comey, if someone is working with the Russians and, you know, that's part of my organization, then, you know, I want you to investigate that. Well, that was after the election.
It was way after the election.
So,
right.
So let's go back again to the beginning of this. And no one is answering this question. In fact, this is really bizarre that they're coming out and they're trying to make the point here, essentially, that it's not connected. But there's no doubt that it is.
Well, we know it was because the whole investigation was based on Carter Page and mm-hmm. or Papadopoulos were being told
right.
This is what they can't make the case that a month before they were nothing burgers
mm-hmm.
and Trump and the campaign, they weren't worried about Russian collusion at all, and a month later it became a Russian collusion investigation using Carter Page and Papadopoulos as their evidence that Trump was colluding with the Russians to hack the election.
Yeah.
But since then, Trump has personally never been under investigation by the FBI or the special counsel. What the hell is going on then?
Exactly. Put all this together. Tell us where it makes sense. Somebody spell that out, which, by the way, is all the more reason. By the way,
somebody from the Post
actually saying, oh, well, this had nothing to do with the... I'm sorry, you're from the Post and you're trying to now say this had nothing to do with Trump himself, had nothing to do with collusion? Really? Wow. That's the most bizarre point there in that whole line of discussion on that panel.
Oh, no, it just had something to do with separate. Really? Because that's not what you folks at the Post have been saying all along. You helped build this
and
narrative.
Then, and then people are upset at Trump for saying, hey, you had a spy in my organization.
Right.
You're trying to set me up. You're trying. Oh, you're going overboard. What the heck has been going on for the last 2 years?
Exactly. He starts asking questions about it, and then all of a sudden, he's the one that's acting bizarre.
Look,
he's the one acting out of line.
If you listen to the show, you know we have no problem criticizing Donald Trump when we believe the criticism is warranted. We have no problem doing it.
None.
And, you know, Trump supporters know that.
Mm-hmm.
That if we disagree with the president, we will go after him. In this case, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
the president has every right to be furious about this. Every single right. All of a sudden, the past 2 years have disappeared as to everything that's been going on.
Right, right.
Oh, well, that didn't happen.
And they're trying to rewrite the narrative.
Yeah.
From the Post. Oh, no, this was just about something separate. It had nothing to do with Trump or the campaign. Wow.
So, like I said, that was the frustration for me yesterday is trying to figure out what in the world's going on. And, you know, you and I talked about Trey Gowdy and listening to some of what Trey Gowdy was saying. We're like, where's he coming from? What's his point?
Because you're making,
I don't understand.
Because he
what
was
the
making
point
a
was.
Point about what Trump told Comey. That was after the election.
Right. That which, again, I what does that have to do with now?
Right. And what
with,
and what
and,
did that
and
have
what
to do
happened
with
overall?
Somebody being right. inside the campaign? Somebody justify that for us. Tell us why who can justify that for us? The FBI. Hand over the documents and let the committees show the people why someone was there. If it was legitimate, as they're all saying now, great. Show it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio, he's Eric Hurley, I'm Gary McNamara. Yeah, so yesterday was one of those days, you know, like last night when I woke up to come into the show and I saw Trey Gowdy's comments. And I'm thinking to myself, did I miss something in the news? Did I
right.
miss something? And
yeah.
I realized I haven't missed anything. It's just somehow the narrative doesn't make sense anymore and nobody's explaining exactly what they mean.
Right.
And so, but when you look at it, no, it's all still the same. There is still, from everything we know, there was an informant that nobody wishes to, on the Democrat side, wishes to call a spy in the Trump campaign. The narrative's changing a little bit. It's like, oh, no, Trump, we weren't worried about at all. Or his campaign, these are just individuals that we were looking at.
Right.
And nothing to do with Russian collusion until a month later when it had everything to do with Russian collusion as they went for a FISA warrant. Huh?
Well, you know, the president starts screaming, hey, they had a spy in my campaign, and then all of a sudden the left starts changing its narrative. Oh, no, no, no. They were there just investigating, but they weren't investigating Trump or collusion. It was just other things. After 2 years?
Sorry.
Doesn't fly.
We don't accept that.
No.
Please explain in details how? By releasing the documents.
Yep.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.